Welcome to this MPS MedicineWise podcast, focusing on the rescheduling of codeine and how it might affect patients and GPs. My name is Jill Thistlethwaite, and I am a GP and medical advisor at MPS MedicineWise. In this podcast, I will be talking to Dr. Malcolm Dobbin, who is a public health physician with an interest in the misuse of medicines, including over-the-counter codeine. So thank you, Malcolm, for agreeing to do this podcast with us. My first question is, after codeine is rescheduled on the 1st of February, some people who have been buying codeine over the counter are likely to seek help from GPs to manage their pain. A number of these patients may have been misusing codeine. So what are the signs and symptoms of codeine misuse that GPs should be alert for when these patients come into the surgery?
Well, the important thing to think about in this situation is to distinguish whether the patient has a pain problem or whether they have an opioid dependence problem. Because if you're just merely treating pain, you're going to not treat what is actually the underlying cause for their codeine misuse. So I think it's important to start off early, and you might notice that they may either request a product by name, by brand name usually, or they're unlikely to present with a diagnosis or a pain problem or seeking help for a pain problem, but they may. But they may include that in their first opening interaction with you.
So a patient comes in then and begins to talk about their symptoms of pain, and the GP is asking questions, taking a history, etc. What good questions are there to delve a bit deeper into this possibility of misuse?
Well, I think you have to prepare the ground for asking some questions. And I think that one of the techniques we use is called borrowed protection, where rather than you coming on and looking at the patient and them feeling that you're accusing them of being addicted, it's good to say, look, we've been asked to talk to all our patients about this situation and ask certain questions, but we've got to do this for all patients, not just you. So I'm not questioning you at all, but you need to then flesh out the situation, which is some people have been using over-the-counter codeine painkillers and they've had problems with overuse and they've experienced serious harm like stomach ulcers that have burst or they've lost a lot of blood or they've got anemia. So I need to ask you a few questions just to be sure that I'm going to treat you safely. So I think that's the first encounter that you have with the patient.
So that's signposting, really, and making it a more generic consultation rather than specifically targeting the patient in front of you.
Yes, that's right. You don't want to frighten them or feel that you're accusing them or that they may be sensitive about being feeling like addicts as they would perceive it. So you've got to make that, set it up as a medical consultation. And the other thing to say is, look, well, I need to assess your pain myself. It's maybe the first time you've had to see a doctor about your pain, but I need to make my own assessment and we need to agree together on the best way to treat it. You should ask about their use. So how long have you been using whatever the product is? How often have you been taking them? Do you take them every day? And what's the most number of tablets you've taken in a day? Have you ever tried to stop? And how do you feel when you try to stop? Do you feel sick? And if they say, well, yes, I have tried to stop, you can then say, well, how did you feel? And try to elicit the symptoms of the opioid withdrawal syndrome. And if they say, well, I got very restless and shivery, and I've started getting pains, abdominal pains. I started getting pains in my muscles and joints. My nose was very runny. I was very teary. I got goosebumps, hot and cold flushes. If you can see they're describing the typical cold turkey kinds of opioid withdrawal symptoms. So then that actually gives you confidence in thinking, well, maybe they do have an opioid dependence problem. And in that case, then you can take them through the SOWS. It's the subjective opioid withdrawal scale. And if it was me, I would have a copy of this laminated on my desk and say, look, have a look at this and just tick off the things that you've experienced, the symptoms you've had. That gives them some independent sort of authoritative source to think, reconsider their circumstances, because a lot of them will have trouble accepting that they're dependent. They've got, like us, they've internalized the stigma and prejudice about opioid dependence, or what they call addiction, and they will be reluctant to come to the realization that, in fact, they have an opioid dependence problem. So you have to ease towards that generally slowly so that you can draw them into treatment and draw them into the acceptance that you need to treat their opioid dependence.
And I think that highlights one of the things that's important in this, is that GPs need to be prepared before the first person comes in with some resources and phone numbers. So then they're not looking around at the time of the consultation for these. They're right at hand, yes, on the desk.
Yes.
So they're not, they can use all the time they have to interact with the patient.
Yes. Look, the other thing they should ask about is constipation. Codeine is a very constipating drug, and also in their examination, they might palpate their left iliac fossa and find a big fecal mass there. So that's part of the examination as well. And that's another giveaway. Patients are very reluctant. I mean, they often, you know, as part of an opioid use disorder, one of the criteria is they don't accept that they keep using even though they know they're getting into serious harm. But so they're very reluctant to reveal what they're taking, and that they're taking 40 to 60 tablets a day or more. And that, whether it's shame or, you know, ambivalence, well, this, I've used this because it helps me with my stress and I don't want to stop. I still need to keep going. So we need to approach this very carefully and try to draw them into treatment, try to draw them in, get over that reluctance to reveal their true level of dependence and use.
And that's very important then in terms of the GP not being judgmental, so that there's a relationship built up between the patient and the GP at this point.
That's right. And the other thing is not to use the word addiction, because it's very stigmatizing and almost a pejorative term, but might frighten them and get them to close up and, you know, not get into treatment.
So I suppose there's always a possibility the patient may mention addiction.
That's right, yes. But the point is, I think, not to stigmatize it and to say, well, look, yes, we need to do something about this. I think, you know, that might be the underlying problem. And certainly we don't want to leave you with your pain. We want to deal with your pain. But we want to, you know, this is a much more serious problem and there's a very great risk. And I think that's the point to say, look, you know, if people have become dependent on codeine, which is an opiate, they can escalate their dose and they get very high doses of the other drugs like the paracetamol or the ibuprofen that's combined with it, and there's a fixed dose ratio relationship, so they're getting extremely high doses of drugs that are quite toxic and they can cause you a lot of serious problems.
You mentioned earlier that some patients get up to 40 to 60 tablets a day. How many tablets are needed to become dependent, if you like, if I can put it that way? Are we talking about if it's within the therapeutic dosage of, say, 8 tablets a day, is that likely to lead to dependence, or are we only seeing that with these larger amounts?
Look, that's a hard question to answer, actually. I think some patients might... What you get is neuroadaptation, so that you get central sensitization. If people are taking opioids for prolonged periods, they get central sensitization and you get the spinal neurons activated, and you know, this is the source of hyperalgesia. But yes, it's hard to know. But I think some people might feel discomfort if they just stopped suddenly. They've been taking 8 tablets a day for you know, a week or more. They might feel some discomfort, but I think ones taking 20, 30, 40 tablets a day would be getting quite a lot of morphine, because codeine is demethylated to morphine in the body, and that about 5 to 10% of it. So they would, they might feel opioid withdrawal, discomfort, or the full syndrome within 3-4 weeks.
And those people are escalating into these higher doses because of tolerance, in the main, or for other reasons?
Yes, I think tolerance, because they start off for a therapeutic need, like headache or, you know, back pain, And they find if they're depending on their characteristics in terms of whether they've got a mental health disorder, previous substance use disorder, they've experienced childhood trauma, or they've got current social stressors, they find not only does like opioids have two actions, they're analgesics, but they also can be stress relieving and also euphorogenic. So some people find, well, if I take these, I actually feel all my, you know, I've got all these worries, I feel better and I relax. And then, or I just feel good so I can chill out. I can take a few to chill out. Then they find that they need more, which is, you know, one of the characteristics of opioid use disorder. So they escalate the dose 7, 8, 10, 20 a day, and they find it's not enough. Next thing, they're within a few weeks, they're taking 40 to 60 or even more than that, up to 100 or more a day. And during that time, they just rationalize, or they're in, you know, the psychological defense of denial, because it's quite challenging to think, well, I might be an addict, you know. So people tend to avoid that.
So you've just highlighted the three types of patients that we may see according to an Australian study from 2010. So those patients who are using therapeutic doses but may still have some dependence, the recreational users who are looking for the euphoric effects, who may also escalate their use to carry on having those effects, but also may just use the codeine occasionally. And lastly, that high dose user group who are using the combination medications. It sounds like there's a lot of similarities in how the GPs should approach this in terms of the initial consultation, questions, etc. But are there any specific differences in the way that we can manage those three groups? And obviously there will be some overlap between them.
Yes, well, there'll be the patients who are using these for just temporary relief of things like migraine pain or whatever, and just using them occasionally. Well, yes, and then there are the patients that who are just everyday people who may be employed, socially supported, and highly functioning, who have just drifted into increasing their dose. And you know, there are all those determinants of you know, their vulnerability, but you know, they're not stereotypical, you know, addicts. I'm just doing an air quotes. So they're particularly going to have difficulty identifying their misuse as a problem. But I think you need to maybe distinguish those people that have got an opioid use disorder. I mean, you know, all the criteria, including the tolerance, the fact that they've escalated the dose. So that's one of the characteristics. If they've tried to withdraw and they've got withdrawal symptoms, that's another one of the criteria for opioid use disorder. If they're taking larger amounts or for longer than they intended, that's another criteria. If they've made unsuccessful attempts to cut down, do they spend lots of time in activities to get the medicines, that's another characteristic. And often they talk about, and patients sometimes come into treatment because of the time they spend, what they call chemist shopping. They get sick of chemist shopping, and that's another characteristic. And if they forego other activities and responsibilities, you know, they spend an unusual amount of time. That's again, and particularly what we've found too is people get admitted to hospital with, say, a perforated ulcer or renal tubular acidosis, hypokalemia, and they don't reveal that they've got a problem with taking high quantities of these tablets. So that there are multiple admissions, and it might be days before they actually reveal, because they haven't been specifically asked about over-the-counter codeine use. So that's another characteristic that puts them squarely in the category of opioid use disorder, which needs to be treated.
So that group's quite interesting in terms of not revealing that they're using codeine in that way. And I suppose that also comes back to the doctor, the admitting health professional, asking the right questions.
Yes.
In the right way.
Yes. I think when people take a medication history, they just ask questions like, you know, what drugs are you taking? And if the patient perceives that over-the-counter codeine or any over-the-counter medicines are not drugs, which is a common perception, or because they're available over-the-counter, they don't perceive them as significant in that responding to that kind of question. That might just be an incidental, not a deliberate attempt at concealment. But doctors have been asked in a lot of the case studies, people say, you know, be ask specifically about over-the-counter medicines as well, because they're often neglected.
I've certainly learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will have learned a lot from our conversation. And I'd really like to thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. I've been talking to Dr. Malcolm Dobbin about the rescheduling of codeine, and in particular, codeine dependency. The views of the host and the guest on this podcast are their own and may not represent MPS Medicine Wise. MPS Medicine Wise is an independent, not-for-profit and evidence-based organization that works to improve the way health technologies, medicines and medical tests are prescribed and used. Visit www.mps.org.au to find out more about codeine and find more reliable information for health professionals and consumers.